faith of our fathers. When you think about that, I'm kind of inclined to think about all of you. And I'm hoping that that's where our lesson will lead us tonight. We, of course, honor God and worship God alone and Jesus Christ, His Son, and our mission in life is to be pleasing in God, to God in every aspect of life. And yet, there's often times when we think about the faith of others, the faith of our fathers, as that song said, that we will be true to Thee till death. And we have so many reasons to be thankful for the faith that we have. The Scripture, as you're familiar with, says, "Have you not read?" Many times Jesus uttered those words, "Have you not read?" And I'm hoping to equate the burden that befell the Apostle Paul, his persecutions and sufferings, as the Scripture there says in 2 Timothy 3 and 11, with the faithful. And that means to carry the force of the persecutions and the afflictions right on into the everyday faithful life in which we live. We may not be shipwrecked like Paul. We may not be stoned like Paul. We may not be receiving lashes by the Jews like Paul. And we may not be starving and in the water and out of the water and naked and in peril like Paul. But when we remain faithful, and I'm really thinking of you all, that when you're faithful and you show that by your presence in the assemblies and by your willingness to work, there are times when it gets hard. There's times when you almost want to say, "I can't go anymore." But I believe that as we study the Scriptures and as we think about one another in this venue, that we'll see that members of the body of Christ, those who put work ahead of self and those who put worship ahead of self, they often suffer and endure afflictions. And so I know that God will lift up those who give of themselves completely for the work of His kingdom faithfully. And I believe that God's looking down upon each and every one of you tonight. And He will certainly, with power, the power of His Spirit, deliver us from the labor one day. Have you not read? You know the Greek word for deliver there. Persecutions, afflictions, what's happened to me, and what persecutions I endured. Paul said, out of them all the Lord delivered me. And that word delivered is a very interesting word. In the Greek word help studies, it says to draw or to pull oneself to rescue or to snatch up, to draw or rescue a person to, and you notice that, to and for the deliverer. In Matthew 6:13, we hear what's often, it's considered a template of prayer by the Lord, and it's used in a very part, a closing part of the sentence where the Lord recites the words, and deliver us from evil, and deliver me and from others, deliver me to yourself is what that word really means when Jesus uses that both in the 23rd Psalm and in Matthew 16 or 6. Deliver me. And it's a cry, not only to deliver me, but deliver me for yourself. And as you look, you know, the Lord says, deliver me out of my personal pains and bring me to you for you. So when God delivers us, He's not just delivering you out of the afflictions and the persecutions, but He's delivering you with a purpose to bring you to Him so that you can be a part of His kingdom. Strong simply says it means to rescue. And that's what God does to all of us when we have burdens and afflictions that we have to endure from time to time. You know, when Jesus was on that cross and those Jews passed by and they said he trusted in God, let him deliver him. Now if he will, have him. You see, they didn't understand that God indeed would deliver Jesus. Jesus would be buried, but he would be raised from the dead to rise up to be in heaven with the Father. The Father would deliver him to himself. And that's the whole idea of being delivered in the Bible. That's the whole idea of our salvation. And that's why we work while there's day. And that's why we pray. And that's why we assemble, so that we know one day the faithful will be delivered up. And so the Lord, we know, is faithful. The Scripture in 2 Timothy 4, 17 and 18 tells us that the Lord stood with me, Paul says, and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me that the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. When we work in the kingdom, when we worship in spirit and truth, when we assemble like this, we can have great confidence that the Lord will deliver us out of the lion's mouth, out of the roaring and ravenous mouth of the devil himself. We need to be sober and vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. That's the deliverance that the Apostle Paul is really talking about. When we're faithful, as you are, you can look forward to deliverance. You don't have to be ensnared by the devil. You can escape that snare, as Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We can escape that snare, and we should be thankful. In 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, I am already be poured out, as Paul said, as a drink offering. At the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. All of you need to take this to heart. Realize that Paul said he's being poured out. He's looking at the idea of his dying, and he says that he has run the race. And all of you are running a race. If you're alive and you're in Christ and you have faith, you're running a race. Run the race well and have that same confidence that there is laid up for you a crown of life. Have you not read? As workers and faithful members of the body of Christ, like Paul, we too are fighting that good fight. Have you not read? Laid up for you is a crown. A crown of righteousness. Paul was rescued from the hand of his enemies, from the affliction and the hard things that he had to suffer. And so also we too can be lifted up out of our own misery, out of our own troubles, and out of any kind of affliction that falls upon us from the burdens of the work. And we find great joy and comfort knowing that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for us. Have you not read? How will God deliver us from these afflictions? I guess that's an important question. Just as the Lord delivered the Apostle Paul from afflictions and persecutions by providing him with strength to endure them, he will deliver us by giving us strength to endure. All of us. I don't care whether it's the preacher or an elder or members of the body, men, women alike. At times we all feel as though we just can't take another step. And that's when our faith kicks in, if you will. That's when the Lord delivers you. That's when you hear the words of God echoing in your mind and He provides the strength so that you can tarry on. That's when He removes that thorn just enough so that you can bear it. That's when He says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And that's when you just can close your eyes and realize the Lord's hand is upon me. His Spirit is in me. And I most gladly would glory in my weakness, knowing that the power of Christ rests upon me. Have you not read? Listen to the words of God. They will ease your burden. This morning in our lesson, we talked about Matthew chapter 11 and how Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden and burdened, and I will give you rest." Such a gentle invitation and such a meek promise from the Lord. He's willing to take on your burdens. Just cast those cares upon Him. Have you not read? And the Scriptures, we know the Scriptures do not teach that Christians, they'll be free of afflictions and burdens and persecutions. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 teaches that. But the Scripture does teach that God will supply strength for all of us who stand in faith. We're not free from temptation. But the one thing that is certain is God will deliver us from falling by providing a way of escape. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 13. Have we not read? You know, God, we're not free from the trials, but when we put our trust in the Lord like we do here tonight, when we do that, He's with us. In Psalm 23 and 4, "Thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." Why? Why, David? Why you fear no evil? "For Thou art with me." David knew that. Have you not read? Keep those words close to your heart. And we need to rest in the everlasting truth that when you're tired and when you feel afflicted, God shall supply all your needs according to His riches, is what Paul told us in Philippians 4:19. And he ought to know. He ought to know, because he's the one that prayed to God three times to remove that thorn. And the Lord said, "No, my grace is sufficient." We want to all be mighty, don't we? Mighty in the Lord. I think that you are mighty. I think that your presence in this auditorium tonight tells me that you are mighty. You're mighty in the Lord because of your faith. And there are many people who aren't mighty, but I believe with all my heart that you're mighty. People of strength are often discussed in the Scriptures. Men who are mighty, in which others, they're weak, and the mighty men prevail. Some people are physically powerful. Some people possess inward might. But we want to study and apply this to ourselves tonight. God shall supply all your needs. And we need to be a mighty people. Mighty in physical strength and in body. You know, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. You remember Gideon? In Judges chapter 6, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." I think that applies to you tonight. I think that many had a reason not to come. I think many said, "You know, it's raining and it's going to get worse and I don't like to drive in the rain." I think that many people said, "I am so, so tired." And I think you got up and came anyway. We have a visitor with us tonight who's 95 years old, and his good wife is with him, and he came. That's pretty mighty if you ask me. And I think that's true about many of us. Especially you. God is here. We continue faithfully. God is here. coming in the doors of this brick and mortar building and this building made of wood and shingles isn't the secret. It's worshiping God in spirit and truth, and it's having the Word of God filling our hearts. And you're in good company when you are a mighty people. You think about King David. It was reported to him that he was a mighty man of valor, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18. And Naaman, the Syrian captain, he was mighty man in valor, 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. We're all amongst good company. People who would be here with us if they were alive today. Have we not read? Mighty man of valor. A mighty man of valor, and a mighty man. We can be that. We can all be that. We can also be mighty in our convictions, and I think that's a sign of your presence. Christians strong in their faith who are taught to bear the infirmities that the everyday of the week brings us. Christians who, regardless of having a six-day work week and some work night shifts, and they still get up in the morning to come to worship. Some work hard hours, not only at work but at home, and they still get up and they come to worship. We have conviction, don't we? And I think that as we look at this, that the Apostle Paul said, We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to plead. In other words, we're here, and there's a few here, and I know we have some missing because they're traveling, and we understand that, but oftentimes it's the few who are doing most of the work. Oftentimes it's that spiritual might that belongs to you, that we realize that our human weakness is something that we still stand up to help others. We're here. And we're here because we put our trust in the power of God and because we love Him. Therefore, we too can make that statement that we take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. You're here. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Mighty in the Scriptures. The Bible reports Apollos. He was an eloquent man from Alexandria. Mighty in the Scriptures, the Scripture teaches us in Acts chapter 18, verse 24. He was mighty in the Scriptures. To be mighty in the Scriptures means that we're acquainted with the words of God. It means that they're more than just words in a book, that they become a part of our daily meditation. They become a part of our lives. And they become the power within us to raise us up when we're so, so weak. The Spirit of God. One must know how to rightly divide the word of truth. And that's something furthermore. To be in the Scriptures, one must believe the Scriptures. And I think that you all are making that statement just by being here, not forsaking the assembly. And we make a sincere effort not only to believe the words of God, but to practice those words. Today, there are very few people among us, even preachers, who are really mighty in the Scriptures. And we really need, there's an urgent need for people who are able to dig into the Scriptures and to understand them and expound upon them. There is an urgent need for women who can teach our young people with understanding, expounding upon the Scriptures. And after listening to the studies that we've had here on Sunday mornings And I have come to a very strong conclusion, and I'm convinced that those among us, especially you who are here tonight, have a strong understanding of the Scriptures. May God help us to be mighty so that the work that we do is worthwhile for Him, so that when He delivers us and rescues us, it will be unto Himself. The Lord wants more mighty people to do the great work in His kingdom. In the last few minutes, and I really mean that, in the last few minutes, that might surprise you. We went to a gospel meeting with Brother James Bond, and every night he would say, "I'm going to make it short tonight." And people would lean back. He says that every night. Let's see. In the last few minutes, when we're strong. So when we're strong. Paul took pleasure in those infirmities because he said, "For when I am weak, I am strong." It's a good thing to be strong out of weakness. It's when the Lord, you know that He's working in your life, when you feel like you can't go on, but you do. When you can trust the Word of God and the strength of His power and the strength of His might. And as long as our emphasis is placed on God, on His strength, we will be provided with enough strength to pass through each day and to pass through our own weaknesses. Paul said he was strong when he was being persecuted, when he was had infirmities and reproaches. He was strong for Christ's sake. And so we want to conclude today by just looking at four quick points, four real strengths that accompany us in our spiritual lives. First of all, we're strong when we have respect for the authority of the Bible. We recognize that we must have Bible authority for everything that we do. Book, chapter, verse. If God said it, let it be. If God didn't say it, don't put it in. And I believe with all my heart that this properly fits you who are here tonight. Whatsoever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's what we do. We live by the authority of God's Word. We are not ashamed of the gospel. The Apostle Paul said that in Romans 1 and 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The power of God, the salvation. And we are strong when we only want the gospel to be preached. When that's all that we really want to hear is the Word of God. We're not going to get caught up in our emotions and say, "Well, I want to hear a little less of the Word and a little more of that uplifting stuff." We want to hear the Word of God. We're not going to say that, "Well, other people have kind of, they've turned a blind eye to that part of the Word and they've gone ahead and done things, but boy, look at their church grow." We just want to hear the Word of God. Small or big, we want to hear the Word of God. We're only as strong as God can make us when we preach His Word in its fullness. And I believe in all my heart that that fits you who are here tonight. Have you not read? When we practice what we preach, that's pleasing to God. And it also is encouraging to other people around us. The Scripture says, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself?" We have to teach ourselves and we have to teach others and we have to not be hypocritical. We have to practice what we preach. There's a great demand for people of God who practice what they preach. And Paul said, "Have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." And I think with all my heart that that fits you. Simply because you're here. We are filled with zeal. I think one of the hardest things I ever faced as a new preacher is when I stood up the first time in front of an audience of about 40 people, and they didn't look like they were interested at all. But they were. And we're not talking about a charismatic kind of zeal where we're jumping up and down in the aisles and flailing our arms around and shouting out amens and hallelujah. By the way, it's not wrong to say amen. I encourage you. But we need to have that zeal for the Lord and for the knowledge of His Word. And that's something that makes us strong. You know, like Paul, I thank my God for you all, that your faith is spoken of, not just in these walls. I hear stories from time to time about things that people are doing, and I'm just utterly amazed. It's just a wonderful thing. And I pray that the Lord gives you strength day to day to continue to do the good things according to His will that you do. And that includes everything from prayers to talking to people to having Bible studies to inviting people to worship. There's so many things that I see people doing in this congregation. Everyone's trying. You know, Solomon, a very wise person, he once said that together there we are that cord that is not easily broken. He said, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, there's not 60 people in here tonight. There were 44 or 45 people this morning, and now, I don't know, there's 10, 12, 13, 15. But it doesn't matter, because together, your faithfulness creates power. Together, we can stand up for Jesus. Together, we can go out and tell the world about the love of God. Together, we can go out and bring souls to the body of Christ, to Christ Himself. And it's not easy to break a threefold cord. Imagine 15 or 20. Have we not read, filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding is what helps us to be strong. I want to close by quoting two texts from a favorite part of the Scriptures, one of my favorite parts. King David, he says this, and I believe with all my heart that God applies this to every one of you here tonight who believe. And if you wanted to follow, I'm going to put it on the screen. It's Psalm chapter 37. In Psalm chapter 37, beginning in verse 23 and 24, and then again in verse 39 and in verse 40. King David wrote these absolutely amazing words. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he falls, he will not be utterly cast down, because he is upheld by the hand of God. I think that applies to us so truly, that as long as we are ordered by the Lord on our steps, as long as we are following His will and His way and listening to His Word and being built up by those things, whenever we fall or falter, we're going to be upheld by the hand of God, and you're going to know it. You're going to know that God's working in your life. You're going to feel the blessings. You're going to understand the love. And I think that is one reason you're here tonight. And then he goes on in verse 39 and following. And he says, but the salvation of the righteousness is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. And he shall deliver them from the wicked, save them, because they trust in him. I believe with all my heart that that scripture applies to each and every one who is in the Lord and in this place tonight. You can be upheld by the hand of God because you trust in him. He will deliver you. He will deliver you unto himself if you just simply trust in him. We have a song of invitation tonight. The song is The Great Physician, song number 800. And the Great Physician is our God. It's our Lord and our Savior, our sympathizing Jesus. Have you not obeyed the gospel? Come tonight. Be baptized. Wash away your sins. Let the Great Physician heal you tonight. If you have any other need tonight at all, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.